Hi, my name is Sarah Blessington, and I'm here to tell you a story. I rode a 171cc scooter, similar to something like a Vespa, across the United States. It's about 6,000 miles, and took me 5 months to do so. And a lot of exciting things, and terrifying things, and wonderful things, sad things happened on the journey, and I'm here to tell you a little bit about everything. I really had no idea how close you could come to dying without death, and then I chose to do that by myself. While I had no intention of wanting to test those odds, it would seem that while you wield a tiny two-wheeled contraption as your mobile consort, these death-defying odds will present themselves full-heartedly and with a lot of fervor. So a lot of people ask me, why did I do something like that? And I've been trying to figure out kind of my origin story, and I think that this is sort of where it starts. So I was living on the beautiful shores of Big Island in Kona in Hawaii, and was working at the snorkel cruise company that was owned by an incredible family, and I mean, my office view is of the ocean. I got to watch whales just right there from the other side of my computer screen, and it made me mad. I was unsettled in some way. There was something about me that, while beautiful and there was so much perfection in that life, having health insurance, having dental, and working with people that cared about me and that I cared about as well, but I just felt that there was something more that I wanted. And I wasn't really sure what that was, and I wasn't really sure how to get whatever that feeling was, but I knew I needed something. So there was just sort of this unsettled energy within me, and I had been living on the island for about a year, and it sort of started to come to a place where I was really just like, okay, world, universe, something, show me what's next. And in this haze, I was riding my little Honda Metropolitan, a little 50cc scooter that I got to ride 4 miles to my house to work every day. And off to my right, running on the side of the road, I immediately recognized this girl that I went to middle school with. I know that could be kind of a bizarre thing, but she does have a very wonderfully specific run. And I just knew it was her. And I hadn't seen her in years. And I reached out to her on Facebook and was like, hey girl, are you here? Because I live here and it'd be awesome to get some coffee, and what are you doing here? And she told me about this company that she was working for, where she was able to lead bicycle tours all over the world and get paid to do so. So that sounded pretty cool to me, and after getting coffee with her, she was able to share with me just how much joy she got from it, and that she was able to practice her French, and that she was just getting a lot of joy from doing this and just so much adventure. I was like, you know what? That sounds like something that I want to do. So I started the process of interviewing for this company, and I made it through the first interview and the second interview, and the next step was to go to San Francisco and do an in-person group interview. And I'd never done one of those before, or at least since my first job in Colorado was a group style interview for a ski resort, but that's neither here nor there. So I, with a little bit of trepidation, went to San Francisco, and I'm very fortunate to have a wonderful friend there that was able to host me and let me use her car so that I could go to and from the interview. And it was such a uniquely wonderful experience. It was a 2-day event, and showing up there, I was there ridiculously early, just I can't help myself with the nervousness. I'm like, well, at least I gotta get there and check out things. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm here an hour early, that's too much. Go get coffee. And now my caffeine is just fueling my insecurities to another level. And I'm sort of starting to lose it in the haze. The beautiful, wonderful haze of the Bay Area has transformed my hair to a whole other thing that can't be tamed at this point in time. And I'm kind of in the moment of panicking about that. And then all these people start to arrive, and they're all about my age. And as we start sort of chatting and kind of testing each other, it just quickly becomes not about trying to size each other up, but more of, oh my gosh, what wonderful things have you done in your life? I want to know everything about you. You're incredible. And I found myself with like 20 people that had just done all of these amazing things. And it was such a wonderful experience to be surrounded by all of these inspiring people. And it really just kind of had me asking, like, what have I done and what do I want to do that's more of that? And some people had rode their bicycles down to South America or rode bikes up mountains and lived on boats at sea for months at a time and just done all this amazing volunteer work. And they were just an incredible group of humans, and I'm so grateful to have met them. And they really helped awake this fire in me, and this kind of agitation just continued to grow of like, I need to do something. I don't know what it is, but it just kept to grow and build inside myself. And as the interview progressed, it was so much fun. And I just really started to realize I am not really good at bikes. And the idea of actually riding bikes for an extended period of time, while I could probably do it if I like just really kind of force myself to do it, but is that something that I would really like to do? And I think of myself as someone who will rise to the occasion, especially when I put myself in that situation, but it just sort of started to make me realize that I didn't really want to do this job. And I think the people that were hosting the interview could see that. They're kind of like, what are you doing here? They were very kind, and it was the best rejection letter I've ever gotten for a job, and I'm very grateful to it, but it still brutalized my ego nonetheless. And when I got the rejection, I was in the Embarcadero of San Francisco, which is just right on the water, and it was one of those incredibly misty days where the sky just sort of blended in with the water and in a sort of timelessness. And as I sat there on a bench looking out, I just kind of let myself feel the fall of the emotion of just not being wanted and not knowing what I'm good at. And beyond that of, well, what am I supposed to do in this world? And that lostness and that heartbreak of not knowing and not really having direction, and, you know, just it really started to come over me. And I'm like, well, I'm just gonna fall to bits and pieces here on this park bench, so I should probably move. So I got up and got a coffee, which seems to be a theme for me. It's like, let's just get a warm beverage and, you know, help ask this caffeine to kind of help put some motivation back in me, and life's not over yet. So I went for my coffee and drank my coffee and started scrolling through the internet of like, what else is out there? And I started seeing other people doing these incredible things. I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I gonna do? What's my thing? And I again went out and found a nice little hideaway of this old brick, and I could feel the coldness on my back as I leaned up against it and just let my heart break, and I started to cry. And I was crying for so much more than just getting that rejection letter, because it wasn't really about that at all. And at that moment, I was like, I have to call my mom. So I called my mom, and she did not answer. And I tried to not completely fall to pieces on the voicemail, but I guess she could hear me through the voice recording on her phone, and she called me back right away and listened to my heartbreak. And she said to me, Sarah, why don't you come home? You know you can come home, right? And my heart again just kind of ached in the sense I'm like, is that home? And what is home? And it kind of created this desire in me. It's like, well, you know what? I'm going to go find out if that is my home. And that lostness that I'm so fortunate to know so many wonderful people, yet there isn't this land that I wake up in and I'm like, wow, I don't want to be anywhere else. And not really knowing how to manage that desire to see everything, but also have a home fire somewhere. And I figured, you know what? I'm going to go back to Asheville, North Carolina, and I'm going to figure out if my home is still my home. And with that, hung up the phone, pulled myself up by my bootstraps, and was ready to just see what else is out there. And my next event for the evening was with my friend who I was staying with, and she was working at a gala with these wonderful kids who were there looking to showcase these different business ideas and products that they've invented, and were looking for mentors. And so I got to spend time kind of behind the scenes with all these different mentors that were there and helping these kids that really just didn't have a whole lot of support, and talking about the ways that they get to offer support to them. And it was just an incredibly inspiring evening chatting with these kids who are just so bright and not going to let anything stand in their way. And it was such a grateful fuel to me to be like, okay, I have resources. I think I can figure this out. I'm going to figure this out. It's going to be fine. And right before I'd started looking for this job, I had gotten a message from one of my best good friends who was gracious enough to house my birth certificate, my leather boots, some VHS tapes, and some other, oh, my snowboard, yes, and some other prized possessions in her garage attic in Colorado, and when I was living in a van for a couple years. And she told me, you know, girl, if you want to come get your stuff, now's the time to do it. We are moving to Michigan. And I'm like, okay, I now have to figure out how to get from Hawaii to Colorado and to get my stuff and then go to Asheville. And for me, it can be helpful to look at my brain on a spreadsheet and kind of just space it out and start organizing things to make things seem a little less daunting and overwhelming. So I started my adventure spreadsheet and started running the numbers for what it would take if I just bought a plane ticket from Hawaii to Colorado to North Carolina, and then how much it would be to ship my bags, and then estimating how much each of them weigh. And then those numbers just started getting pretty out of control right off the bat. I'm like, well, I'm not gonna do that, so let's see about something else. It's like, yes, I do need a plane ticket, but how far do I need to go? And Hawaii is off, or plane tickets off from Hawaii are expensive nonetheless, but trying to limit the distance as much as possible, and knowing that I wanted to continue my life once I started landing, I wanted to kind of help myself do that. Like, well, I'm gonna need some sort of transportation. So I started looking at renting a car and then buying a car and trying to figure out the best place to do that, and started doing some research with airports and the car market close to airports. And then I just started thinking about that. I'm like, well, you know, who knows if I'm going to get a lemon, and then I would immediately leave the state, and who knows what sort of issues I would run into, and that would just be a kind of costly thing. And then the numbers started working up with that. I'm like, okay, now what other options do I have? I could take a Greyhound. And I just sort of left the spreadsheet up on my computer. I had to go to work, and on my scooter on my way to work, I just kind of laughingly thought to myself, what if I did this? What if I rode a scooter across the country and I could go to San Francisco. My friend there has already offered just her space to me whenever I need it, and maybe I could stay there, and then I could actually spend some time to find and buy the right thing and make it so that it works. And at that point, I had already had some mechanical experience with the scooter that I was on, for taking it apart and then finding a gracious soul on the island who helped me learn how to put it back together and gave me just a lot of really helpful information on how to maintain an engine like that. And so I was like, you know what? Is it safe enough to try? And that expression is something that comes up a lot for me in my life, because what is safe, I guess, is its own question. But for me in that moment, I was like, you know what? When I get back from work today, I'm just going to see how much that would be to do that. So I started looking on Craigslist for scooters in the area, and they were really affordable. And all the parts for scooters are really cheap, and they're kind of everywhere. And I figured, you know, if there's something that I get, I can always ship parts to me. There's post office boxes pretty much everywhere. You know, this might be something that I can do and be just a little bit more self-reliant and not having to kind of just look to a mechanic for all of my answers, that I could look to myself for a lot of these answers. And that was really empowering and just kind of gave me another step up. And I'm like, you know what? I think I can do this and kind of do this like self-sufficiently. With my time and living in the van, I already knew some pretty good techniques for packing small and what you really do need at the end of the day. And then what are those little things that bring you the joy that kind of make road travel just a little bit more lively and not just kind of survival techniques, but, you know, just really continuing life while traveling. So I started just kind of planning it out. I'm like, okay, well, how would I go? And is this crazy? Has anyone else done this? And I started Google searching and trying to look through motorcycle forums and just try to find anyone that had done something like this. And I came across this one woman and a blog post from about 2009, or one of those older reincantations of blog posts. And she's shared her story about starting in San Francisco and going to New York. And her story, I mean, she's just really hit on some beautiful elements to this sort of travel and travel by yourself. And she was able to take everything she needed in just a little top box and just kind of made it happen and stayed in some motels and just really had quite an adventure. And she does mention something briefly about rain, but she told her story in a way that was like, you know what, it really isn't that bad. And I've read Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, and I can do this too. I can survive this. So then it happened. I chatted with my friend in San Francisco. I'm like, hey, this is kind of what I'm thinking about. Can I come stay with you for a questionable amount of time and build a scooter thing in your backyard? And she said yes. And then I reached out to another friend, like, hey, when I've overstayed my welcome here, can I come stay with you and maybe use your garage? And she said yes, of course. I'm like, okay, great. So I've got two people that I can stay with, and then I then had to say goodbye to Hawaii. And that place was just so much magic for me. And I know as I start talking that, or telling the story, that I just kind of have this animosity towards it. But showing up there, I needed so much love and so much repair. And I was so lucky to immediately move in to a family, and move in with my best friend and someone that understood me in a way that no one really else had been able to understand me. And she and I were able to just really show each other what, like, best friends are, and that kindness and love and just what unconditional friendship is. And I'm just so grateful to that and her family just adopting me and continuing that wonderful, like, familial love that is something that I don't have a lot of exercise with in my life and a lot of experience with. So in saying goodbye to that, just really, it started to bring up some fear of, like, am I crazy? Am I crazy for saying goodbye to this, to having a community that loves me to the moon and back and would do anything for me and I would do anything for them? And in sharing that fear, one of my adopted family members, like, Sarah, you have to do this. This is something that is in your heart and it needs to be expressed. And I'm so grateful for that push. And so it's like, okay, that's it. And I bought the plane ticket and then I gave my notice for my job and we found a new roommate to move in and replace me. I was like, all right, here, it's go time. Found a new scooter lover to take over my sweet little boot scoot. And that was that. It was go time. And I started to try to visualize the potential scooter that I had and how I could take these things with me. And then I started to lay out all of my clothes and then came the quick piles. What do I absolutely not need under any circumstance? What do I kind of maybe need? What do I really want but probably don't need? And then what do I need? And then just kind of quick flash throwing things in the piles. And my don't need pile was incredibly small at first. And then I just round after round of just making that pile bigger and bigger and starting to give away things. It's like, Sarah, your life is so much more than things. And this experience is going to be something. So just don't have all this baggage with you. And even still with those wonderful positive self-talk regimens, I still had an insane amount of things trying to imagine for whatever possible thing I could come across. It's like, okay, well, I'm going to be camping every night. And as I was trying to do this on the cheapest budget I could, and doing a lot of camping and trying to not pay for camping can get you some more off-road things, or taking those off-road routes, you kind of need a little bit more specific tools as far as having power to make your phones work or making sure you can carry enough water and fuel for food to cook. And so I really wanted to make sure that I was not going to die out there. And then trying to figure out what you need to not die, I took everything. I took everything more than I thought that I needed. But, you know, that was process number one. And I'll post a photo of what my first look at all of my belongings looks like. Just comical to see how I thought all of that was somehow going to fit on a scooter. And then I started at this time putting out some requests for help on some adventure forums, on a motorcycle forum and then an overlanding forum, just kind of putting it out there of like, hey, does anyone have any used gear, size 8 shoe or a motorcycle jacket for ladies? And just kind of seeing if anyone had anything hiding in their closets that I could maybe buy off them to kind of help my whole budget situation. And I put out the first thing of like, hey, this is kind of what I'm gonna do. And if you're on these forums to speak negatively about this or tell me that I can't, that's not what this is here for. You can go somewhere else. This This is a place to offer support and kindness and to tell me that I can and to give me some help on how I can do this. And it was really cool to see people. Some folks were wanting to test those limits a little bit and tell me that I'm crazy, but pretty early on, folks started to be like, wow, like, look at the balls on this check. I want to follow along, at least even just to see if it even happens, because I didn't have the scooter yet. I hadn't made it to the mainland, and so no one really, I think, knew what to expect and probably thought I was just a lot of talk. And I slowly started to collect some gear from some folks, and then was able to kind of get a better idea of what I would need to buy once I made it to San Francisco, and found a couple different gear shops that came pretty highly recommended. And I felt like, you know, like, I think I'm going to have enough support here to be able to make this happen. And then folks started offering up some different gear or some different route recommendations, which was awesome. And then being able to feel like I, you know, this is going to be something special. And doing some research with the scooter, I'm like, how far can I go between gas fill-ups? And even just looking at the manufacturer sites and reading the instruction manuals, I wasn't really finding anything specifically of this will go this many miles. And then I'm imagining, well, I'm about to put a whole lot of stuff on there too, and me, so that's wind resistance and weight. I don't know how far I'm gonna go. And then I started doing just a little quick Google searching of looking for those big dots that generally indicate that that'll be a town, and a town that theoretically has a gas station. And then there's also a little gas app that I use, and just kind of zooming in there and being like, I think this is going to be pretty safe. If I just stay off the highways, which I've heard people being able to do, and there are bicyclists that go all the way across the U.S. and they are able to not go on interstates. So I think I can do this too. And then I started to make a map and just putting these places that I've always wanted to go or that I love more than anything else, and to just do it for me and to see these people that I love. And it just started to really bring me so much happiness. And I hadn't even started yet, but making this plan that was just for me. And I'm so grateful that folks were from all over offering places to stay. But I really kept trying to look to, it's like, Sarah, where do you want to go? And how is this going to work for you? You're the one in the driver's seat. This is all about you and about no one else. And anytime I'd been traveling before, there'd always been a purpose happening of that usually had to do with someone else, as far as what their needs, what their wants were, or traveling with the dog and really just kind of needing to get to the other side and just be with friends. But there was also now this other element of like, I can go to a place I've never been before and know no one, and that'll be great. And then I just get to figure out what that is and what I really want from that place. And one of those places was Death Valley. And people are like, you are crazy to go there. Do you realize what time of year you're going? And initially, just with the advice that I was able to gather from the woman who rode the scooter across the country and just kind of reading some of the other cross-country motorcycle travelers, that I was pretty sure I could have a pretty good journey in a month. And my mom was wonderful. And I suppose I should tell y'all about how she found out about this. So I was at work and I had called my brother and I'm like, Doug, I am gonna ride a scooter across the country. And he's like, what? But he was incredibly kind and encouraging. He's like, have you told mom yet? Well, no, I figured I'd try telling you first so that then I can have some practice and then tell her next. And he's like, you know what? Good luck. And I'm like, okay, thanks. and I wanted to call her right then, but I couldn't. And then my mom seems to have this magical, I don't know, just sort of extra honing device for her daughter when her daughter's about to go do something crazy. And in a conversation that she had had with my brother, she's like, "So, have you talked to your sister recently?" He's like, "You should just talk to her." And so my mom already had a little, her radar was up that something was amiss in her daughter's well-being potential. And so the next day at work, when I called her, and she's like, the silence was, it was a thing. And, you know, she came back on the other side of it. It's like, okay. Okay. And I think there's that part of her that she knows that if I've made up my mind, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to figure it out, and that at the end of the day, I'm going to be okay. And she is able to trust me in that, and I'm really grateful for that, and so lucky that she's not immediately throwing out my ideas as crazy and telling me that I can't, because I don't know if I really would have been able to do that journey with that kind of, you know, negativity, I guess. So super grateful to my mom that she was able to come in there and just be a positive ray of light. It took a couple days. I think she had to talk to some of her friends and tell them how freaked out she was with what I was about to do. But in doing so, she was able to come back to me as an incredibly strong pillar and really be my mom and be a source of safety for me. Even if she couldn't be there physically, she would prove to be an incredibly resourceful tool for my sanity on the road ahead. So that was great. But so that's kind of how this all gets started, and the balls start rolling, and I have a map sort of, and a kind of an idea that I think I can take a month to do this, and that the journey was going to happen. The plane tickets were bought, the intentions were set, the forums were being updated, and I was gonna go. And I again just want to put out a thank you to everyone who saw my post saying that that's what I was going to do and chimed in with support and offering just that other voice of yes, you can, because those moments when I didn't think I could, even though I was kind of at a point or reached a point eventually where I was sort of flying with blind, just go, go, go energy and figure it out and all systems go, don't look back, and we're going to make this happen. And so thank you to everyone that offered your support. And I will pick up with how I actually leave the island and arrive to San Francisco next time. And I thank you so much for listening, and I hope you enjoy what you hear. All right, be well.